Hello, this is Dick Hayden for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm filling in for your regular reader, John Ivy. Over the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Sports Illustrated Kids for the issue January-February 2019, a combined issue. Today's program is underwritten with the support of the Raleigh-Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Let me make an apology to you, everybody. Last time when I signed off, I said be sure to tune in every Wednesday at 10 p.m. for the program. And I made a mistake. It's on Thursday. My apologies. So every Thursday at 10 with rebroadcast noted in the program guide and podcast as well. Well, let's get going. Our issue today has a front cover that is the worst issue. Not that it's a bad issue. It's just terrible teams, confounding calls, ugly uniforms. And if it's bad, it's in this issue. So let's look at a few more of the things that fall into that category. Maybe. We'll start with the normal items. In fact, I think the worst items may be up in the following week's program. A little tension to build up there and some excitement looking forward. You may recall that we ended our last program. I was reading an article from Warm Up titled Tips from the Pros Leading the Way, and we ran out of time. We didn't read too much of it, so let's go back and pick it up, finish it off, and then move forward. Leading the way, future Hall of Fame left tackle Joe Thomas was one of the most dependable players and best blockers in NFL history, and he has a few pointers for you. Joe Thomas was known for his durability during his 11-year NFL career with the Cleveland Browns. He did not miss a single snap until he suffered a triceps injury in the seventh game of his final season. Of course, you're not going to stay on the field for 10,363 consecutive plays unless you're pretty good at what you do. And few offensive linemen have ever been as good as Thomas. The third pick in the 2007 draft, he made the Pro Bowl in each of his first 10 seasons and was a six-time first-team All-Pro. When it comes to blocking like Thomas, the first thing you have to do is know your assignment. Everybody who plays football has a hard time initially learning the playbook because it is a complex system, he says. Thomas used flashcards with the play on the front and his assignment on the back. When it comes to blocking, balance is the key. Keep your weight balanced in your stance, Thomas says. Keep your balance on the inside of your feet. You don't want to ever have your weight too far forward over your toes. Think of it as if your toes are talons on a bird and you're actually grabbing the ground with your toes. That kind of creates tension in your feet and allows you to move with balance, but also quickly. Finally, it's important to have your head in the proper position. Keep your head up, he says. You never want to have your head down because that will lead to your balance shifting forward. Some mighty good advice there, Joe. You probably might have some things that are your favorites, and you might also want to know what some other people think of their favorite things. Well, Houston Astros third baseman Alex Bregman has his favorite things listed in the magazine this issue. For food, for him, it's cheeseburger. For ice cream flavor, it's vanilla. A sport to watch other than baseball, it's basketball. And his favorite actress is Jennifer Lawrence. His favorite emoji, we may have talked about this, it's a sort of smile with the eyes to the right, off to one side and the mouth is kind of curled up in the same direction. Kind of a funny thing that says, like, really? His athlete as a kid that was his favorite was LeBron James. And for a musician, Kevin Gates. His best subject in school is math, and his favorite animal is a lion. Okay. Well, moving on. This is actually kind of an advertisement, but it's not really an advertisement, but I want to read it to you. I think it's important. It's titled Depression. It's Not Weird Between Friends. And there's a good-sized picture here of two kids sitting at a table having lunch in school. A girl has her lunch tray in front of her, and she has her hand on the arm of the person sitting next to her, and she's looking over at him. And I say him because it's a boy. Boy has his lunch in front of him. No smile on his face. He's looking straight forward. What's a little unusual about it is he is completely encased in a deep-sea diving suit and helmet, something that will withstand the pressure from the outside of the water when he's down deep at it, 70 feet, 100 feet. So he's isolated in this seat. In this suit, rather, and she has put her arm on his arm, her hand on his arm, and she's smiling at him. So here's what it says. Maybe you feel kind of isolated, distant, like even when you're surrounded by other people, you're alone. Maybe you feel weighed down, and you might feel like it's too weird to talk about. But chances are your friends won't find it weird at all. They might even be going through something similar. Bring change to mind can help you start the conversation. Find out more at bringchangetomind.org. Let's talk mental health. Very, very good advice. The section that we're looking at next is Prime Time. And the first article is Elias Peterson. Elias Peterson's team is the Vancouver Canucks, and that makes it hockey. His position is center. And the spotlight on him is no North American experience. No problem for this 20-year-old Swedish rookie who is dominating NHL competition and giving fans in the Pacific Northwest hope. There's a nice picture of Elias covering 1.5 pages of this 2-page spread. He's all on the left-hand side, and part of his stick shows up on the other page, and you can see the puck is right down below, and somebody's stick is trying to get it away from him. He's launching forward with a lot of vigor. He's really into his skating. You can tell that he's on the move. There's a little note to the side that says, heads up play. Peterson's vision and hockey IQ have allowed him to rack up assists and goals playing against much bigger opponents. Sam Page is the author, and he writes, flying to New York City with a bunch of buddies might sound like a dream way to turn 20 years old. For birthday boy Elias Peterson, who soon after found himself surrounded by cameras and microphones, following a morning practice at Madison Square Garden, it was just a typical 24 hours in the life of NHL's hottest rookie. I'm used to celebrating my birthday away, said Peterson, who started traveling to play hockey at the age of 14. The reporters asked questions that had become commonplace after Peterson's first 12 games in America. What did you think about a specific hit you took? And how are you adjusting to the league's physicality in general? It hasn't been a problem for me, Peterson responded. There's every reason to believe him, except for a brief stint on the injured reserve with a concussion. The slender 6'2" center has seemed unbothered by the strength of NHL opponents. He scored 5 goals in 5 games before going on IR, then scored 5 more in his first 5 games back. In doing so, he became just the 5th player since the league's inaugural season to score 10 goals in his first 10 career NHL games. Even more impressive than the frequency of the goals was how he scored them. There was a breakaway, a rebound, a one-timer taken on a knee. Then came number 10, an unscreened slap shot taken while streaking down the wing, the kind of goal players got away with 30 years ago when the goalie stood upright and wore less padding. The Canucks' official Twitter account highlighted the goal's throwback feel by posting a video comparing Peterson's shot to an eerily similar one from Wayne Gretzky. Analogies to the great one are considered sacrilegious, unless, of course, Gretzky makes them himself. "From my point of view, he's got a lot of my similarities," Gretzky told Sportsnet Radio in Canada. "Obviously, his hockey sense and his playmaking ability is as good as anybody right now." Peterson is a long way from 2,857 career points. But the Gretzky comparison is a useful reminder for anyone still questioning the youngster's ability to star in the NHL. This league, for all its roughness, has been dominated before by skinny, fresh-faced rookies. The Golden Boy. Elias Pettersson grew up in Ange, a town of 3,000 people in the middle of Sweden. Despite living in a small city, Pettersson had everything an aspiring hockey star could want: a local rink and a Zamboni-driving dad with a key. Elias would practice after school with his older brother, Emil, who is now a Nashville Predators prospect. Peterson split his time between the rink and the soccer field until he was 14, and began traveling over 60 miles every day to Timrå, a town of 10,000 people, for hockey. Peterson's talent was already apparent, and so was his desire to improve. "I always wanted to be better," he says. "I was always getting angry if I lost a game." That competitiveness drove him to be one of the best players on Timka IK at age 18 in 2016-2017. He scored 41 points in 43 games, playing alongside guys in their 20s and 30s. Scouting reports called him a crafty playmaker who made a strong defensive effort, but playing in Sweden and his size caused him to slip under the radar somewhat as the 2017 draft approached. When the Canucks took him fifth overall, the Vancouver Province noted, "The consensus opinion among hockey Cincinnati is that GM Jim Benning might have reached right away. However, Peterson validated his team's choice, hanging around for day two of the draft, asking questions of Canucks officials about other picks that could one day be his teammates. For the 2017-2018 season, Peterson returned to the Swedish Hockey League, the country's top division. Because the center was considered several years and pounds away from handling NHL competition, the chance to face older players made sense. But they were no match. As a member of the Vaho Lakers, Peterson led the SHL in points with 56 in 44 games, a league record for a U-20 player. His goals regularly went viral, reaching fans and team brass in Vancouver. In the playoffs, he scored 19 points in 13 games, including 10 in the finals against Skellefteå AIK. Per tradition, Peterson, the playoffs MVP, was photographed in the locker room for the championship celebration wearing a golden helmet. Everyone in the team got them for winning the title, and with his entire torso painted gold. He also won league MVP. He earned a shot on the national team for the 2018 IIHF World Championships in May, playing alongside NHLers like Flip Forsberg and Oliver Ekman-Larsson. The teenager stayed golden, scoring 3 points in 5 games as Sweden took the top medal. At 19 years old, Peterson had already achieved so much there was little doubt where he would play the next season. The heir apparent. Peterson's arrival in Vancouver was well-timed. Two Swedish hockey legends, Daniel and Henrik Sedin, retired before this season, and the franchise had collected a slew of young wingers, Nikolai Godobin, Jake Vitteran, Brock Boeser, who would benefit from an elite young playmaker center. It didn't take long for Peterson to impress coaches with his shooting and passing, and the same attentiveness that he demonstrated on day two of the 2017 draft. He cares about the team, and he cares about little details that some young guys sometimes overlook the importance of, which means, in the long term, he cares about winning, says Canucks coach Travis Green. After three straight losing seasons, it won't take many more Peterson birthdays for that winning to come along. And here's a sidebar, the rookie race. Peterson's goal-scoring prowess has made him an early favorite to win the Calder Trophy, given annually to the league's best rookie. These first-year players are his top competition. Brady Tkachuk, brother of Calgary's Matthew and son of former NHL player Keith, Brady may be in line for the best rookie season by any Tkachuk in the family history. He already broke the family record for fastest first goal when he scored in his second career game. A left wing like his brother and dad, the power forward out of Boston University figures to get plenty of ice time playing for the rebuilding Senators time. Rasmus Dahlin, a teammate of Peterson's, at least at last year's World Junior Championships, this 18-year-old defenseman was the top pick in this year's draft. He has been instrumental in helping the Sabres turn their franchise around, and his ability to handle himself at a position at which rookies typically struggle helps his RDY candidacy. In 2015, voters chose smooth-skating blue liner Aaron Ekblad over high-scoring forwards. And the last one is Colin White. Tkachuk's line mate in Ottawa should benefit from the Senators' youth movement this season. White, who turns 22 in January, narrowly missed losing his rookie eligibility when he played in 21 games last season. His age and experience playing professionally in North America could help him stay productive as the season wears on and his rookie rivals get tired. Well, let's now have a little bit of fun as we meet the athletes in chief, and that means people who have been president of the United States. These leaders loomed large in the political arena, but coming this President's Day, we honor them for their sporting achievements. And laid out here over two pages, we have a picture, a drawing of the National Mall in Washington, D.C. And along that mall, we've got pictures of different presidents. Each one is numbered. And you can tell some of them by looking at them as to what their sport was, football, bowling, wrestling, basketball, all sorts of things. Tennis, I think. Tennis, it looks like it. And they're numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4, boom, all the way up through number 11. So let's take a look and see what the presidents who are athletes and what they're known for. Number one, Barack Obama. Obama led his high school hoops team to the state title in Hawaii and was the lefty who was famous for inviting celebrities to the White House for pickup games of round ball. Number two in the picture for him is he's floating on his back in the Potomac River, believe it or not. John Quincy Adams. Every morning, the sixth president of the United States would walk 2 miles from the White House to the Potomac River and swim, or rather, skinny dip, before starting the day. Abraham Lincoln is up next. He's number three, and he's 6 feet 4 inches tall, 185 pounds heavy. Lincoln is in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Legend has it that he won all but one of his 300 matches as a young person. Pretty amazing. George Washington comes in at number four, and he's kind of involved in the same stuff. At the age of 18, this founding father won a school wrestling title, and at age 47, as commander of the Continental Army, he defeated 7 wrestling challengers in a row. That's pretty amazing. William Howard Taft was, in a sense, one of our larger presidents, if you'll pardon the pun. The 225-pound president won two wrestling titles when he was at Yale University, and he relied on his trademark move, the Flying Mark, M-A-R-C, the Flying Mark, in which he would flip his opponent to the ground. A more recent president, number 6, George W. Bush, a former owner of the Texas Rangers, Bush threw a perfect strike at Yankee Stadium just weeks after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He is also an avid mountain biker. Number 7 on the list is Herbert Hoover. He played something called Hoover Ball, a game that his doctor made up that involved throwing or hitting a medicine ball over a volleyball net, and that was installed on the White House grounds. I guess that was his fitness program. Richard Nixon comes in as number 8. Mr. Nixon built a one-lane bowling alley in the White House basement in 1969, and he hosted pros for 10 frames in 1971. A little more recent, number 9, Ronald Reagan. Reagan was a lineman at Eureka College, where he also swam and ran track. Then as a movie actor, he portrayed football and baseball stars. A successor to Mr. Nixon is Gerald Ford. Gerald R. Ford was an All-American lineman at Michigan. Ford was the team MVP in 1934 and had pro offers before deciding to attend law school. A very famous name in history, Dwight David Eisenhower, General Eisenhower, was also president of the United States after World War II. He's number 11. Nickname is Ike, and Ike was a running back and a linebacker for Army, where he went up against Carlisle and its superstar, Jim Thorpe. So he was a cadet at the U.S. Military Academy when that happened. Number 12... Oh, going back even a little further, President Teddy Roosevelt. A noted outdoorsman, Roosevelt participated in a number of sports, including boxing, jiu-jitsu, tennis, and wrestling. Seems like a lot of these presidents like to wrestle. I wonder if that's where they get their interest in politics or something, or because that's kind of like wrestling around to come up with a conclusion. The last one on the list is a more recent president, and unfortunately he just passed away. George H.W. Bush, the father of George W. Bush. The elder Bush was captain of the Yale University baseball team, and he helped the Elis make the College World Series in both 1947 and 1948. So you see, being good in sports can help you become president of the United States, if you would like to. Ah, let's see, we have some good stuff here. It's called One Slip and You Are Pipped. Okay? One slipped. Lou Gehrig's 2,130-game fill-in stint created a term synonymous with the ill-fated sick days in sports. Tom Brady pipped Drew Bledsoe. Before the 2001 season, Bledsoe signed a massive 10-year, $103 million contract with the New England Patriots. In week 2, however, he suffered a serious chest injury after a brutal hit from the Jets' Mo Lewis. Bledsoe's relatively unknown backup, Tom Brady, went 11-3 as the starter. Bledsoe returned to fill in for an injured Brady in New England's AFC Championship game over the Steelers. But the Pats tapped Brady to start Super Bowl 36, and the rest is history. Lou Gehrig pipped Wally Pipp, and that's the origin of the term pipped, although it really is the stuff of myth. As the tale goes, Pipp, the Yankees' first baseman, had a headache on June 2 of 1925, and he asked for a day off. In his stead, Lou Gehrig went 3-for-5 against the Senators. That would have been the Washington Senators at the time. Gehrig, of course, never returned to the bench, starting for a then-record 2,130 straight games No matter how true the headache story, Pip's .244 batting average at the time probably did not help. Henrik Lundqvist pipped Kevin Weeks. It doesn't take long to lose a job. In the true spirit of Wally Pipp, Weeks forfeited his gig after missing only four games with a strained groin in October 2005. Lundqvist, a rookie, went 3-0-1 with a .960 save percentage before Weeks allowed five goals in his return performance. Lundqvist, of course, is still between the pipes for the New York Rangers 14 years later. And Brett Favre pipped Don Majigowski. Brady wasn't the only future Hall of Fame quarterbacker to make most of an opportunity. In a 1992 game against the Bengals, Majigowski tore a ligament in his ankle. Favre came in and fumbled the ball four times. He redeemed himself, however, with a game-winning 35-yard TD pass with 13 seconds on the clock. Like Gehrig, Favre turned out to be an Iron Man, starting 297 consecutive games over 19 seasons, a record for quarterbacks. And then we have Orlando Cepeda, and he pipped Bill White. Cepeda actually replaced White twice. It happened first in 1958 when White got out of the Army. A New York Giant in 56 and a soldier in 57, White emerged from his service to find his team in San Francisco and his position given to the 20-year-old Cepeda, who won Rookie of the Year. White was traded to St. Louis, where he was a perennial All-Star until 1966, the year the Cards acquired Cepeda. And last on the list is Jeremy Lin, and he pipped Baron Davis. Lin's sanity would never have happened if Davis's elbow and back weren't acting up in January 2012. Those injuries convinced the basketball Knicks not to cut Lin, who scored 25 points coming off the bench on February 4 against the Nets. Lin would average 18.2 points over the next 25 games before an injury ended one of the most exciting breakout performances in sports history. And I think for our last item, communities in schools, to unlock potential. At the beginning of his freshman year, Jalen's ambition was to, Jalen's ambition wavered. He lost his sight of his goals and found himself straying from his path. Toriano from the communities and schools became his trusted guide, working with Jalen to improve his attendance, raise his GPA, and set clear goals for the future. Now a senior, Jalen is the first chair trombone player and drum major in the high school marching band. He's exploring musical scholarship opportunities for college, and he has dreams of becoming a U.S. Marshal. There are millions of at-risk kids like Jalen who need a caring adult to help them stay in school and succeed in life. Want to know more? Communitiesinschools.org. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated Kids. We hope you have enjoyed it. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. This program is rebroadcast as noted in the TRS program guide and in podcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. We thank the Raleigh Kiwanis